Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, we do think about saints in a lot of funny ways, and I want to illustrate one of the ways we use the word with an old joke. It's one of my favorites, so I'm going to tell it. There were two evil brothers. They were rich and used their money to cover their crimes. They even attended the same church. Well, their pastor retired and a new one was sent. And he saw right through the brothers' deception, but he spoke well and he preached true, and the church started to swell in numbers, and then they began a capital campaign to build a new sanctuary. All of a sudden, one of the brothers died. The remaining brother sought out the new pastor the day before the funeral, and he handed him a check for the entire cost of the entire building project. Well, he said there was only one condition. At his funeral, you must say that my brother was a saint. Well, the pastor gave his word and deposited the check. And the next day, at the funeral, the pastor didn't hold back. He said he was an evil man. He cheated on his wife. He abused his family. And after going on and on that way for a while, he said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. We like to make that word be a special thing. But the truth is, we are all, every Christian is called to be a saint, to be a saint in the making. We are a community of saints in the making, and while we remember those who have passed on in the last year and the example they left, we need also to consider our own dance of faith and the example that we are leaving. There is an old Irish verse that says, I love this, God danced the day you were born. You are loved. You are beautiful. You are a gift of God. You are His own possession. You are a gift to all mankind. His gift of love to them. You are His. God danced the day you were born. Scripture says King David danced before the Lord with all his might. And I like to think of lifelong faith as a dance with God. Now, God leads, but it is a dance. And when you're young, you imagine the dance will be perfect as you glide across the floor and life will go from good to better and better, but no one's life turns out that way. In every life, there are missteps and there are miscues and there are times when you can't hear the music very clearly, but the beat goes on. As saints in the making, we are called to listen for God's music and to dance to God's lead. Did you notice that the Beatitudes all deal with some kind of suffering or another? And yet, like so many of the Psalms, they promise in the end that in the second half of each Beatitude that some way, somehow, in some place and time beyond our vision, God will set things right. Suffering, injustice, illness, grief, persecution will not have the last word. I know you all remember the Shaker hymn, The Lord of the Dance. And that hymn, after the cruelty of the cross, the hymn in verse 5 has Jesus sing these words, "They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance," said he. "Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance," said he, "and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I'll lead you all in the dance," said he. Even after the cross, the resurrection affirms that the beat goes on. God's love will not be put out. And even though no one's life ever turns out the way we imagine, when we trust in God more than the circumstances of the moment, the ending is assured. God leads us through uncertain times and troubled times and even through the valley of the shadow of death. How can we read these negative circumstances in the Beatitudes and then just let it go as it says you're blessed? It only makes sense if it means that the final and ultimate blessing is to understand that a crisis throws you completely and utterly into God's embrace. And that is the place you come to realize that God's embrace and only God's embrace is truly secure. Trusting God in the storm is not just a good idea. Trusting God is the only option you have when money and friends and power and prestige and food run out. When God is all you have and you know it, you are blessed. You are blessed in that knowledge, because then you know something that good times cannot teach you. As we remember the exemplary saints and their dance of faith before us, the common theme among them all is their trust and their complete reliance upon God, their calm assurance that in spite of everything, God is good and God will not forsake us. Now, a lot of us, I'm changing my metaphor now, don't dance in public. This is no longer a metaphor. I really don't dance in public. And it's a good idea, because it's an embarrassing thing, and I'm self-conscious about it. We don't want to publicly put ourselves out there and fail on a dance floor. But now back to the dance of faith. I think saints as people are people who are out there. They are out there with their faith and out there with their trust in God. Saints in the making who are self-consciously striving to grow in faith do not play it cautious. And they don't play it to please other people. And they're not afraid of being embarrassed because of their faith. They trust God and they live that way. As foolish as it seems, they believe that God cares and in Jesus has come and knows what life here is like. And they believe and trust in the warm embrace they feel in their souls. And they believe that in that love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, they believe they will feel that forever. Troubles are real, but troubles are only temporary. Saints believe without a shadow of a doubt that God gets the last word. And so they dance the dance of faith. They hold loosely to money and status and things, and hold loosely even to people. Because if we live long enough, we know that people, even the ones we love the most, that they too are just passing through our lives. Neither suffering nor life itself lasts forever. Saints know this, and so they can be extraordinarily generous and loving and notice and see the least among us, those who are almost invisible. Saints, it is said, are just sinners who keep on trying. I like that definition. And I love this poem by William Carter from The Gospel and Jazz. He writes this about keeping on trying. Said, "You can punch my lips so I can't blow my horn, but my fingers will find a piano. You can slam the piano lid on my fingers, but you can't stop my toes from tapping. And you can stomp on my foot to keep my toes from tapping, but my heart will keep on swinging in 4/4 time. And you can even stop my heart from ticking, but the music of the saints shall never cease." Think of yourself as a saint in the making. And you'll get better in your dance of faith. If you think of yourself only as a sinner, guess what you'll do more of? Sin. Why not try, even though it's a tight fit? Why not try, even though your faith is a little rough around the edges? Why not try to identify yourself as God sees you? A saint in the making. I think God did dance on the day you were born. I think Jesus loves you is more than just a children's song. I think it is the truth, even you, even me. Saints also know without a doubt that God loves other people as much as God loves me. So they're very focused on other people. And you've met those kind of folks, and some of them we remember today are those kind of folks who had such embarrassingly high opinions of us that we almost wanted to argue with them. Too many compliments. Saints spend time trying to bring out the best in others. But that's what God wants us to do. We were made for each other and for God. And these days together, we are glued, I've noticed, to one screen, the TV, or another, the computer, while ignoring real life and other people all around us. I went on a bike ride yesterday in which a little toddler was being pulled in a sort of a baby trailer. I don't know what you really call those. Baby trailer doesn't sound like a good marketing name, but behind the bicycle, of the father's bicycle. And we rode down a very wooded, wonderful bike trail downtown and up and down hills with the shadow and sunlight playing patterns on the ground. And the little boy saw not one second of it. Why? Because he was absorbed in watching a movie on his portable DVD player. He was with, but not with, his father. He was outdoors on an adventure, but he was no part of it. There's a world out there, and there are people out there, some pulling for us, some pulling against us, some trying to drag us down. Some are hungry, grieving, poor, and lonely people out there, and maybe even in here, who we do not even see or notice. Glued to one screen or another, we don't even see. We're very practiced in ignoring situations in which we might be a help. As I said, these Beatitudes have a lot to do with suffering. But these blessings only sound right to our ears because we have heard them before. But in fact, there is a dissonance, a wrongness about associating blessing with poverty and hunger and grieving. The blessing only makes sense if God is with us in the suffering and feels with us and will redeem us beyond the suffering. And I think that is the implied point. God has feelings. God cares. God cares so much that God entered our world and entered our suffering through Jesus Christ. If you miss this, I think you miss the gospel. Saints are those who have noticed and feel for others who are alienated, others who are powerless, hungry, poor, and grieving. There is a blessing in knowing that God is with you even in suffering, and there is a blessing in being able to notice and care about the suffering of others around you. You'll remember that Jesus began his public ministry in Luke by quoting Isaiah and saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The poor, in this context, in the Beatitudes, are those who have no power, no voice, no money to buy a place at the table to be paid attention to. They are the invisible poor. Have you seen them? That's a trick question. They're invisible. They're all around, and they show up every Thursday when we have our food pantry open for groceries. Then they disappear again. Jesus noticed them. Saints noticed them. Jesus did something extraordinarily contrary to his culture when he said, "Let the little children come to me." You know, stop pushing these children away, disciples. Let them come. He noticed the most powerless people in his culture. They were children. They weren't even viewed as people. And the women he touched and allowed to touch him, and the men he called as disciples who were of no high esteem, that all creates a theme. And the theme is God cares for all humanity. God makes no distinctions as we do in class and wealth and sex and race and nationality. And Jesus also did not run away from the stickiness of involvement with needy people. He felt compassion and would often interrupt his travels from one place to another to meet the needs he saw along the way. Yes, God feels for us. God knows our fears, our needs, our grief, our regret, our loneliness when we seem to fit in nowhere. In Jesus, God knows about suffering. And in Jesus, God promises redemption and blessing beyond present circumstances. I know the blessings are paradoxical, and yet each one of them points to a God who feels with us, who has been here among us, and who suffers with us when we suffer, who grieves with us when we grieve. A God who in Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died. God has entered into our suffering. God has redeemed our suffering, and there is a reality beyond this reality where there shall be no more suffering. A reality where God will wipe away every tear, as we heard in the earlier reading. And it's not a pie in the sky cop-out. It's not. And listen, one more thing. We as Christians must do what we can to focus our eyes in the darkness of this world and see the unseen and notice the unnoticed and the needy and the suffering all around us. It is no accident that you have more free time than others. It is no accident that you have more money than others. It is no accident that you have more education and talents than some others. It is not an accident that you have more access to power and more voice than others. God gave you these things. And God gave you these things to use for those who have none of the things you have. We are called as Christians and saints in the making to do some things. And it starts with feeling and noticing and caring for the invisible. It starts with recognizing as we look in the mirror that we too suffer. And no amount of money and leisure time and education and talents will feed within us the hunger and thirst for righteousness and for holiness and for the reality that we know in our souls should be but does not exist. We are called to trust God and live out that trust with others. Behind every saint stands another saint. Don't just admire, aspire to leave an impression of one who, no matter what, trusted God. I've seen the grave in his grave in Zambia, but there's a famous story about influence. Dr. David Livingstone and Henry Stanley. Dr. David Livingstone was a famous missionary in Africa, and he disappeared into the jungles. Henry Stanley went on a search for Dr. Livingstone and found him after a lengthy search, and there was the famous line that you've heard in history, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." And the two men lived together for 3 months, and sometime after, Henry Stanley wrote his memoirs, and he said, "Dr. Livingstone made me a Christian and didn't even know that he was doing it. He inspired me, and he didn't even try. Just by living his life." We remember the lives that were lived before us this past year. And we too are called to be saints of God. We are called to join that great cloud of witnesses, the communion of the saints, in proclaiming to all the love and mercy and grace of God. And that's why we're here today. And that is why we remember those who have gone on before us, for they remind us of this truth and they call us to live it out in our lives. So what do you say? Shall we? It is our call to continue the dance of faith, to make sure that the beat, the rhythm of the saints, goes on.